Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Replays, interviews, and the only place to catch every Triple M Footy call.
Oh, here we go.
The countdown to the weekend is over. Something big is about to go down. A new round of footy starts now. And every massive moment is right here.
A massive arm wrestle.
Massive hit.
Oh, Rugby League.
That's why we love it.
To McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy.
Here we go. Thursday night footy. This is what we've been trying to do so far on Thursdays. Round one, Golden Point. Round two, goes down to the last play. South falling short against Penrith. Round three, crazy. Manly 34-30 over Parramatta. And last week, the heroics of Nathan Cleary cancelled out by the coolness of Mitch Moses. All four games have been thrillers. There's no reason to think this one won't be as well. Roosters Parramatta at this beautiful venue, Allianz Stadium. Interesting what sort of crowd we get here, because it is a ground that draws people, but it's not a time slot that draws people. So that'll be a fascinating thing to see. But more importantly, it's an absolute belter of a game. James Graham, hello to you.
How are we doing, mate? It's great to be here, isn't it? Like you spoke about, these Thursday nights have really delivered, and you know, these two teams going up against each other. Roosters fresh off the bye. Parramatta fresh off their first victory of the season. And this should be a great contest. I really do think it'll go down to the wire again.
Indeed, let's hope so. Well, I don't think he's done a Thursday this year. Great footballer, great bloke, great father. Awful at the judiciary. Wade Graham, hello to you.
Thank you, Dan.
Mate, one of the worst defences I've ever heard.
Mate, what about that, after that intro you just gave to all the Thursday night games? I'm expecting this to go down to the wire.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, this will be the last Thursday you see me come into all year.
Yes, Jimmy?
I was just going to say, you forgot great surname.
Yeah.
Oh, don't look at me like that.
No.
You're looking at me like you're going to call me a bitch, like you called everyone a bitch last week.
No, he's got a great surname.
Yes, I understood the reference.
It was a joke, Dan.
Graham, anyway. I understand.
Right, okay.
Jimmy Graham, it's a great surname. Emma Lawrence,
I'd
hello
like
to
an
you.
Introduction. Oh, is that all I get? Just Emma Lawrence. Yeah. Look what Wade I got.
The whole point of the Wade intro was to pump him up so I could say how bad his defence was at the judiciary.
I'll tell you what, with that judiciary ruling, you know, I sort of feel a bit unlucky because I was the first one off for the year. And I went in there and I thought, oh, yeah, well, I was a bit hard done by. But then since that, and seeing all the players who have gone get their bans and get extra weeks, if I was second or third, maybe I would have stayed at home that Tuesday night.
So you're in the front lines. Yeah, but you went in and fought. This is the Davey Moali hit. Hello to you, Em, by the way. I don't mean to ignore you. But you went in. Where commentators go, oh, what a great hit there on Davey Moali. And then you go in and say, oh, no, I'm guilty of careless. But if you didn't hit him in the head, why are you pleading guilty?
No, well, because the charge, you can only challenge certain things in the charge. So you can't go from reckless to completely free.
Otherwise, yes, you can. You can say not guilty.
If you go the other way, you're out for 8 weeks instead of 4 weeks. I don't know what the penalty is.
No,
the advice we got from the lawyer was, no chance of getting off.
Okay.
Completely off. There's a decent chance, decent argument with the downgrade from reckless to careless.
Fair enough.
So that's where, again, since then we've had a bit of track form and track record to look at. And if I'd have had that previously, maybe I would have sat at home and reevaluated my decision.
So what you're saying is like Felice Kafusi and all those, but should send. Well, actually, they fought.
Who did you have?
Gabar.
Yeah, well, I sat in the Kafusi one with Gabar. And I was convinced he was getting off because he dominates. He just produced the best argument. And everything the NRL Council had to say, it felt like his argument, the way he delivered it was so much better.
Well, what I will say now is, you know, it's got to a certain point, like you said, that was a good argument. And I certainly, you know, looking at Felice's tackle and, his reasoning behind challenging, I certainly thought he had a fair shake at it as well, at downgrade. But there's been no one have the opportunity to downgrade and successfully downgrade a charge yet. So yeah. As a player sitting here right now, it's almost like why would we even go and bother? We're just going to accept the charge and move on. Like, it's something that really we're going to have to look at.
Well, that isn't that the whole system? It's incentivised for you not to fight it.
Yeah, well, honestly, that's with the early plea.
That's why they offer you the discount. But anyway, you know I'm only poor.
Anyway, let's bygones be bygones. It happened 4 weeks ago. I've got 1 week to go. I've got a Thursday night of you. I've got Easter weekend off with the boy, and I'm back.
Okay, I'll never bring it up again. Let's get to the... By the way, quick thoughts on this game, Jimmy. We'll prove you properly as we get closer to kickoff. I found this the hardest game to pick of the weekend. Your Roosters are warm favourites, but Parramatta match hardened. Roosters still missing a couple. Fascinating clash.
Yeah, it really is, Dan. I think I would have loved for Junior Barlow to be playing. That battle in the middle of the field, I would have loved for Junior to be a part of this, but he's not. I think Roosters really, they hadn't hit their full straps the last time out. I thought the bye came at the really wrong time for them. They were last time out against South Sydney, they looked really good. They handled that opening exchanges and came home over the top. Was the bye at the wrong time? Perhaps it was, but it's got the ingredients for another Thursday night classic.
It does. What do you think, Wado?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Roosters just because obviously a big loss, Junior, for that Parramatta team up front. And we see Jared's first game starting for the season. He was outstanding last week in the middle of the field when he came off the bench. And you know, as we'll preview, it's Victor Radley's 100th game for the club and Sammy Walker's 50th game. So I know what goes into a week, milestone weeks. I know the chat that'll be happening behind closed doors, and it's sort of a double edge. You know, you need these early results to bank the points and to, you know, consolidate and climb up the ladder. But you want to go out there and play well for your teammates who are celebrating milestones. So I think the Roosters just have a little bit too much tonight.
And the Roosters always, I'm sure a lot of clubs do, but the Roosters make a big deal of milestones. And during the week, Trent Robinson spoke so well about Victor Radley and said he's behind Cooper. He's the next smartest player that he has ever coached. And he said you wouldn't think it because he plays up to this larrikin and, you know, this more of a, not to be disrespectful, but like he's a bit dumb. But he said he's that intelligent, he just never shows it. And, yeah, he's a pleasure to coach. And many say that about Brandon Smith as well. He's a lot smarter than he lets on.
Yeah, well, Brandon Smith, like, so not going to shameless plug, but we feature on a weekly show. I ask him, are you across all the games? He's like, or are you across this? If there's anything you want to, you know, skip out, we won't make you look stupid. He's like, man, I watch every game. Like, watch every game. And I think, I mean, you know, with Victor... And it would be the same with Isaiah Yeo, Cameron Murray. They're students of the game. They're real students of the game. Their intelligence is, you know, you might see Victor play this role of the, you know, the fool or the larrikin, but their expertise are in rugby league and understanding what's going on. They don't watch it. When they're watching it, they see it and they look for ways to gain a competitive advantage. So they'll look for traits for the opposition that they're playing the next week or next time we play this team, I'm going to do this because I've noticed this player does this. And it's those type of players that excel because they study everything. They look at trends, they look at patterns, they look at how oppositions defend, they look even for things that other teams do well and go, can I do that? You know, we see, you know, there's a lot of imitation within rugby league, and that comes from players watching the game and studying it.
Well, generally in life, I think the funny people are generally the smart people, because to be funny, you have to have a certain level of intelligence. It's not surprising to hear that Brandon Smith is one of the smart guys. By the way, we do this for Jim Beam. It's said to be an... It is said... Look, we're going to get some duds down the track, I'm sure, but all these games have been worthy of what Jim Beam says. It's going to be an epic match, and that's worth raising a Jim Beam. So please drink responsibly. Teams are in 1-17. You fellas talk about no Barlow. That's very important. But also no Joey Manu. So Drew Hutchison goes into the centres. He does a job there, but, you know, he's no Joey Manu. No one is. The Roosters, Corey Allen, will play in jersey 16. We haven't seen him in the top grade in 2023. Parramatta. We get another look at Brendan Hands. Be fascinating if he starts off the bench again, if that just starts to put a little pressure on Josh Hodgson. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Big story of the week. Who knew? Who knew there was a feud between Robinson and Gouldem? Were you aware of this before this blew up?
not beforehand, but it gave us a lot to talk about during the week, that is for sure. We didn't even have to think. Sometimes you go to a press conference and you think, oh, what am I going to get out of this? It's hard to find a story because you need stories to run every day. But it was a story that kept on giving. Firstly, Suoli'i signing and then the feud.
Mm.
I've got to say, I was at the Trent Robinson press conference and Trent Robinson is very intelligent, but he spoke so well. He was very eloquent. He had obviously thought about what he wanted to say. I wouldn't say he fired up. He was calm with what he said.
Yes.
I think he delivered his point. He wanted to get his point across. Regardless of what questions were asked, he knew what he wanted to say. He knew he wanted to come back to Gus. And I didn't mind Gus coming back at him.
Well, also, Coach Robinson, he's got to get the best out of this young man for the next 18 months. So he's not going to cast him away or speak poorly of him because he knows how integral Joey Suoli'i could be, you know, in the Roosters' attack for or opportunity for a premiership this year or next year.
Also, they're not stupid, the Roosters. He's 21. He'll go and make his money and, you know, play against the Lions and play in a World Cup. He'll be 24 at the end of the deal. The Roosters know. Treat him well now. Have his back now. They will get a promise out of him that when he comes back to the NRL, like they did with Sonny Bill, he will only come back to the Roosters. And then in 3 years, you've got a player who is now a man, not just a boy, who is a fully formed athlete. And you're going to get the best 8-9 years out of his career. I mean, if he was 29 or 30, Wade, they may have a slightly different attitude because I think they are peed off. Not a Joe necessarily, but the way the manager handled things. And normally the Roosters don't lose. So when they lost, it was sort of a bit weird for them. But also the kid signed 1 year options. What did they think he was going to do? Of course he was going to pull the ripcord on that at some point to go and play rugby.
Yeah, well, of course there's been noise ever since the Roosters got him from South, how much he played rugby as a junior and how much he was touted as a potential future rugby star. But I must agree a bit with Jimmy Graham there. Like, a couple of heavyweights in Gus and Trent Robinson, are voicing their opinions. But it's split teams, right? Gus is obviously disappointed with what's happened, but he can share his disappointment and he can share his thoughts. Where Robbo, there's no doubt part of him is disappointed for sure, but he's got skin in the game, like Jimmy said. He's got another 18 months with this kid, been able to develop him, as you say, an opportunity for him to come back. So you just got to make the best of not the situation that you wanted and get on with it. So I just think it's the freedom of being able to pick a team and have an opinion and just being able to voice it, because I know Gus can be disappointed and voice his opinion because it doesn't matter what happens to Joseph to him, right? He's just at another club. He's been in the game for so long. He's seen players come and go. He can just voice his first feelings, first thoughts and first disappointment. Where Trent Robbo, he's got to look at the big picture, the longer-term picture, and go, well, hang on a minute, I still got to train this kid, develop this kid, have him in my squad, hopefully achieve some success before he leaves and have the door open for him if he does want to come back one day.
And I reckon Gus probably echoes the thoughts of some of the fans out there that are thinking, like, well, no, like, go now. Like, fans of the game, not fans of the Roosters, but it's clear that a lot of people don't like the Roosters, so they want to see them suffer. So he's echoing the thoughts of a lot of fans that, you know, who perhaps can't understand why someone would turn their back on our game for money, you know, or have it presented that way. I genuinely believe there are some fans out there that, yeah, can't believe he's done this.
I think it's just like what makes it interesting is like there's two heavyweights, very different on two sides of the fence. Normally when we see big issues in the game, we see all the, you know, the stars align and they're all together on this issue pretty much on the same side or nearabouts, where this one's just come from two different sides of the fence. And, you know, the two men who certainly have done enough in the game that, you know, their opinions are allowed to be heard.
The Gus stuff fascinates me because he worked with us at the time Sonny Bill walked out on the Bulldogs, and he seemed to be sympathetic towards Sonny Bill. My memory of this was he had some crosses to bear with David Gallup, and they all came out at that time. And frankly, that put Triple M football on the map, some of the stuff that happened there and all the publicity it generated. But Sonny Bill walked out mid-contract, didn't tell anyone, and got on a plane on a Saturday, and had to be ruled out of a Monday game because he was in France. This has been done in a totally gentlemanly manner from Swali'i's perspective. I don't know about the manager. And again, Swali'i has never hidden his desire. It's not as if this came out of the blue. I don't understand this idea. What good does it do booting him out now? Firstly, you got to pay him, right? He's got a signed contract and he's willing to pay. So now it becomes dead money. Put him on gardening leave. And what are you achieving by that?
I can only imagine Joseph's camp's been transparent throughout this whole process. And, you know, it's clear to see that the fact that he signs one-year deals. And that's because he wants to weigh up his options, because something like the prestige of playing in a Lions Tour or World Cup or, you know, elements of, you know, everything that rugby union can bring that our game can't.
I think the silver lining for you making the decision so far out is, you know, you take Gus and Robbo going at it, you know, the decision's made. If he hadn't made this decision for another 12 months, knowing that the Lions is coming up, the World Cup's coming up, and he's got that only that one-year deal, it's just going to be speculation after, and it's going to not go away. We all saw with the Mitchell Moses stuff how that dragged on, right? And he was staying within our game. He wasn't competing with two goes, it was just two clubs. So imagine if it had been, you know, 12 months down the track, we're having this same conversation going around and around. People get fed up with that as well.
What he's done the Roosters a favour so they can roster plan for perhaps, like, you know, so when Tedesco leaves, they're not going to have the battle of, is it Manu or is it Swali'i? So he's done the Roosters a favour there so they can plan for the next, you know, for those three seasons without him, and then maybe perhaps plan for him coming back into the
fold. Right about it not dragging on and getting spoken about, because already anyone that speaks to Cam Murray for the last 6 to 8 weeks, ever since Eddie Jones said, "I'm going after NRL players," everyone's asking Cam Murray. Now everyone's just asking anyone that's played. Toby Rudolph, I believe, at one point, I spoke to him during the week. He said there might be a podcast coming out with you at one point. Has it come out?
It's already out.
It's out, yeah. He mentioned the fact that...
he'd entertain it,
He'd entertain it. Nelson had said that he would as well, so I think it's going to...
Yeah, well, hang on. That is in their financial interest to at least say that. I'm not saying they're not being...
But players that Eddie has mentioned, at least like Cam Murray...
Yeah, you're right.
That will haunt Cam. I'm not going to... He might not care, but it's going to hover over his head now until he re-signs with the Rabbitohs, if he does. And until that, everyone's going to think, oh, Eddie's going to come and poke
him. I was watching him on Saturday night, and he was out. He was out on his feet. All right, 65 minutes in. He made 50 tackles or something. And he runs into the line and gets whacked every time. Now, you see his stats, and he'll have 8 runs. Well, they don't count the runs into the line that you part your ball play, right? He's copping so many whacks. I was there driving home thinking, at some point he's going to think, do I need this? Or do I want to go and play a game I'm familiar with and get hit half the time and make half the tackles and make more money?
Well, Dan, you know what? You bring up a great point. So in contract negotiations, timing is everything. So if you're Eddie Jones, what you want to do is, after Cam Murray's had an awesome effort, 50-plus tackles, and they lose a game. So then you go in and you go, Cam, sure this is what you want? And he's like, yeah, I've just come off a loss. Yeah. What you don't want is when they get the you know, the golden point victory against Manly, you might just go, oh, we're going to reschedule that meeting for another time, Cam. Yeah, all about timing. And, you know, I'm being serious, that the emotion does play a part in that. And those are the these are expert negotiators. They've done it for a long time, and they know the power of the situation where they can go, I'll push on these buttons about, do you need to feel like this? You've just, and when, they won't mention the fact that they've lost, but they'll know. They'll know he has just come off a loss. And the message and the timing of the delivery is vital. These are expert negotiators, and, you know, Eddie Jones and his team will have the best that Australia can provide, and, you know, they'll roll out the red carpet, but timing's everything. So watch out next time South Sydney lose. A heartbreaker of a game. Cam Murray has an amazing statistical effort game. Rugby union, Eddie Jones might just be catching up for coffee that weekend.
What an eloquent, intelligent, measured conversation this was. What's wrong with us? Let me say...
You want someone to blow up?
No, I'll give you one. Rugby is dead in this country. I don't know why we have this xenophobia about Swali'i and the publicity it gives. Rugby is a two-game-a-year sport in this country. When there's a Bledisloe here and when there's a Bledisloe there. There was a Super Rugby game on Saturday night. It had 23,000 viewers on Channel 9. There was a Super Rugby game on Gem, the secondary channel. on Saturday night the week before it had 22,000. This game, that game, there's no comparison with where they are. And also, before you chime in, Wade, I hear this argument, well, you can play in Penrith or you can play in Paris. Yeah, that's true. That is true. You can go to Paris in the off-season. You know, you can go to Prague in the off-season. It's not like you're in jail here playing rugby league.
I would just say there's no guarantee, especially with the game and the crossover, that you will be instant success in the other game. It is a different game. And if you talk about making a decision, say we talk about Kier Murray, right? When he comes off contract, he's going to be at the peak of his powers, in his prime,
yes,
ready to, you know, he'll leave at the top. We saw Roger go across and struggle.
That's right. Yeah.
And he left the top here, and he grew up in New Zealand, and he played rugby as a kid for all those years, and he just hasn't had the same impact on the game that we probably all thought. Or we knew that the impact he would be having on our game, in the system he came through at the Roosters, the ability to go over to New Zealand and play for the Warriors. It's just, you know, obviously a lot of things come into the equation when you're making these sort of decisions, but sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And for a player to leave at the, you know, the peak of their powers, I get it, if it's, you know, if it's a payday or if it's you want to go and make less tackles, make less runs, just, you know, your happiness and how you live your life and what you get out of it. It's a risk. Because there's no guarantees.
It is a risk, Wade, but I guess for them it's the I need to go and answer what if. So that was my question when coming over here to Australia. Yeah, it was a risk, but I needed to know. And yep, it was okay to fail, but I couldn't live with myself if I didn't answer that question. And these are the type of things when we speak about negotiations, you know, when Eddie Jones sits down with, say, Cameron Moyes, like, you might regret this. And those are the little things. Well, can you imagine what if? Just come and try it. You can always go back. Like I say, they know what they're doing, these guys, and those are the type of lines that they'll be using to Murray, to Kohler, to anybody, to Big Nelson. You know, these are the type of decisions that the athlete will have to wrestle with. They'll have to wrestle with these decisions. What if, what if I'd have gone to Union and gone on that Lions tour? What would life have been like?
I know Joey regrets. Not regrets. I know he wonders.
Yeah.
If you took that Waratahs, yeah, Wallabies offer, there's always that, I wonder.
Yeah.
By the way, South, there's nothing stopping South, and they may have already done this, offering Murray a lifetime deal at South, locking him up now. Because they've got 2 years. He's contracted for another 2 years. Very quickly, Wade, because Tommy's waiting for us.
We talk about the negotiations. If I was South Sydney, do you know who I'd be going to whisper in Cameron Murray's ear?
Russell.
Sam Burgess. Oh. He had his own little experiment, I guess.
You don't think he's doing that already?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they hired.
We're talking about the timing. He's come back down one job. Yeah. Get Cam Murray.
Keep Cam Murray. Tell him how awful it was.
Yeah. Actually, you know who too? So I just thought of them that had an awful experience too. Bless him. Benji. Oh, you kind of forget that. Benji went over. Go.
Wouldn't be a Thursday night where we don't talk about the West Tigers. That's coming up right after this. Mitchell Pearce says thank you, but no thank you. And we'll discuss what else is going on there. And we get you ready for this barn burner of a game. The Roosters and the Eels live. Triple M rocking. Geez, good crowd coming in. They must have just opened the gates here because they've all just flowed in here at the football stadium. It looks pretty good, doesn't it, Wade?
Triple M footy lives on Lister. Ready or not. McDonald's and Remont Water. Triple M rocks footy. You can't stop
what I got. Remont Water and McDonald's bring us Thursday night footy. They bring us all the footy here on Triple M NRL. And primetime is thanks to Jim Beam. And this is an epic on the way. Roosters and Parramatta, they played two beauties last year. They played Magic Round, didn't they? Was that last year? 31-24. That was Swalee, the man of the moment, scored two absolute crackers. One of them was a huge take. Thanks for turning up, Em.
Oh, Brent Reed, I said, I've got to go. And he was talking to me. And that's not to say that Reed is the priority over you.
Well, that's okay. I just had to do a lot of fill there because I need you to sort of introduce this next thing with James Graham and Wade Graham. That is a good last name, James. You're right. we've tackled Swalee. The other two stories, the first one, what's going on with Mitch Pearce? I ask you because you were at the Tim Sheens press conference. So Jimmy Hooper last night, was it last night or the night before, breaks the story
that the Tigers are sniffing around for Mitch Pearce, who's under contract at Catalan for another season. They want a conductor. Even though he's old, they want him to steer the ship. Take it from there.
And look, Sheens couldn't exactly come out and deny it just because Buzz then published a text message from Pearce confirming it, saying, yes, I've spoken with Benji. So Sheensy today essentially said, yes, we have actually been chatting for a while about it. We approached him, but sort of said end of story, essentially.
Well, let's have a listen.
It's obvious we've been chasing now for a while a senior half of some sort. The conversation was had. He's not interested. He's on contract. So that's it.
Sheens bristled at suggestions Benji approached Pearce behind his back.
We don't do anything without telling each other, guys. But you're getting me into that. As I said, that's all I want to talk about in that respect. And I'm happy to talk about the game.
Sheens also denied it shows a lack of faith in Luke Brooks.
When we've been dealing with Mitchell Moses and Cameron Munster, what do you think? It's not to replace him particularly. So, yeah, we are recruiting and we'll continue to recruit. So whether it's to play 5-8 or 7 is yet to be decided. End of the day, I'm really just keen to talk about the game this week, guys. There's nothing more. I'm not going to say anything more about it anyway. I've said I wouldn't, and you dragged me in a little bit, but I'm not going all the way.
Did you get him a little cranky, Em? Was that you probing again?
Oh, myself and Christian Nicolussi, actually, from the Herald, was probing, but at least he couldn't deny it, so at least he came out and said, I don't believe that that's the end of it, just because he says, oh, Pearce is on contract. So what? Everyone in rugby league is on a contract and they can get out of them. I think that that's not the end and they would continue. And I can see the argument. Some might say, well, why would you go after Pearce? He's 34 next week. But the prime targets they have gone after, they haven't been able to get. So you said they couldn't get Mitchell Pearce, they couldn't get Cameron Munster. And for them to find a playmaker that they really want, it might take a little bit of time. So for that year or two, until they can find that what they deem a quality playmaker, that's the plan, for Pearce to be that bridge until they can find who they want. Because everyone they've wanted has said no.
For me, they had a perfectly good halfback there in Jackson Hastings that they let go.
Yeah, but he rubs people up the wrong way. I don't know.
Maybe perhaps that is.
I don't know
the
what it is, but every club he goes to.
Yeah, perhaps that's the reason. But you know, we have seen the value of experienced halves lately. Like their value has shot up, especially those experienced ones. We look at, you know, Adam Reynolds going up to Brisbane, the impact he's had there. Chad Townsend, Cowboys. So they're a hot commodity at the moment. Experienced halves, but you know. The Tigers just at the moment they can't catch a trick, and you know how Tim Sheen stops all these questions and these negative headlines.
Wins.
Wade, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought this was a really intelligent idea because you've got Coruscant for 3 years, you've got Bateman for a couple, you've got Papali'i for a couple. Like, they need to take advantage of this period now, whatever they can be. It's going to be in the next 2 to 3 years because those players are probably going to head off. I'm not being rude, but if things go the way they're going, someone's going to offer. Well, Coruscant, you know, is into his 30s, and you don't know what's going to happen with those players. He's exactly, even though he's old and his body's starting to let him down a bit, apparently, I thought this was a really astute idea, but because it doesn't come off, people are going to, oh, the Tigers miss out again.
Yeah, I think it's just the way that it came out. It was a text message from a third party. It didn't come from the Tigers, so obviously someone's opened their mouth behind the scenes and they're reacting to the press and they haven't got on the front foot. Now, we know they're actively recruiting a half because they went so hard after Mitchell Moses. But, yeah, to reach, like, I've got a little different perspective because I can only talk about, so Mitchell Pearce. I was in conversations with him last year. I was off contract and, you know, I've stated on the, you know, in the public before that I've always seen myself going over to Catalan you know, at the end of my career because of my family situation. And Piercy was that happy and that settled over there. He was actively trying to recruit me. He was trying to convince me of how good it was over there and how much I would love it. They got a really good team. They got a shot at winning a Super League Grand Final, and I think they're top of the table now. So I think you know, the issue with that is there's no doubt Mitchell's a quality player. And as Jimmy said, like an out-and-out halfback, a senior halfback who understands the pressures, the week in, week out, wins and losses doesn't really matter. It's just about performance and, you know, nailing your performance. He's a definite candidate. I just think he's too far away.
Yeah. Well, as well, like, I don't think the Tigers are going to go away, but if you're thinking of Mitchell Pearce, why would you come back? Like, he was one of the most scrutinised players that the NRL has ever seen over the last decade. He's quiet life over there in the south of France. No negative press. He's playing pretty well. Come back to the team that, with all due respect, at the bottom of the table. Can you imagine the pressure that's going to be on him if he comes back next year for the Tigers at the ripe old age of 34, 10, 35? It'd be ludicrous to accept the deal.
Not to mention the pressure of the fact that his dad is a Balmain legend. It's also kind of like a Cinderella story in a sense that he's finishing...
No, thanks.
I just think at the moment there's too much noise for the, you know, whoever's behind the scenes at the Tigers doing their recruiting. There's too much noise.
Shut your mouth.
Everyone's actively recruiting. They're looking at their rosters. They're trying to, you know, strengthen weaknesses or adjust players. Or everyone's doing that. Just, you need to tighten up the ship a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Worry about the current group of players you have. Have them improving. Get the wins on the board. And just go about your work quiet. At the moment, there's a story every week. It's just too much.
If Pearce has leaked this, I don't see why he'd leak it. But if he's leaked it or his manager's leaked it, okay, fine. That's the game. But if someone from the Tigers has leaked it, do they not understand that there is no benefit, none, to this story getting out? All you've done is alienated the players you have, and you've cheapened your brand even further by looking like a club that just can't get anything done. I don't understand... Yeah. Some clubs, they just love being in the news, even when it's negative. But I don't. Do you think it came from the Tigers or did it come from Pearce's management?
I don't think it came from the Pearce camp. Just the way that things unfolded and the exchanges that were published, and what do they really have to gain from the Tigers? Look, traditionally there have been leaks at the Tigers, and they had meetings about it at the back end of last year, even going back 3-4 years ago. They all got pulled in and were told, look, keep it in-house. You know, certain players left who were believed to have been leaks there. They've now gone to other clubs. But the staff do it, whether it's, you know, on a board level, recruitment, everyone. Traditionally at clubs, board members, and whether they mean to, but it's in conversation and it comes out. I'm not saying someone from the Tigers.
When you have a battle-hardened team who's been at the top for a long time, they understand, you know, there's going to be speculation here and there, players, you know, leaving, coming and going, but the group can, you know, stick to what's in front of them, the performance in front of them, getting better and just getting the wins on the board. It's hard enough when you have a hardened group.
Yeah.
When you have a group that's searching, you know, there's obviously new recruits still trying to learn their way at the club, in Appy and in Bateman, and then there's other players who haven't had a lot of success for a long period of time. They're just searching for something, and to have this on top, like, it's a lot to deal with. It's hard.
Let's take a quick break. We're only 20 minutes away from this one. Roosters versus Parramatta, both are warming up. Jimmy's got some thoughts on another club that just can't stay out of the news. That's coming up after this.
Triple M Footy lives on Leicester. Ready or not? For McDonald's and Remont Water. Triple M rocks footy. You can't stop what I got.
Ready or not? The Roosters at the southern end, the SCG end of this Allianz Stadium, going through their routine. Parramatta at the northern end. Not a bad crowd. I said it was a big crowd earlier. Big crowd for an hour before the game, because you don't expect that on a Thursday night. There is not a bad seat in this joint, so... hopefully we do get a good atmosphere here on this Thursday night. Allianz Stadium, you know, we're only here 8 times this year. 8 times. They build a $900 million stadium. So guess what? We play 8 times here all year. Homebush, which everyone hates, 18 times. Anyway, that's my opinion. I welcome yours, 13-13-32. Wade Graham, Emma Lawrence, James Graham here.
The Dragons, can they go? They're like the Tigers. Can they go a week without getting themselves in the headlines? Moses Sooley does a routine press conference, right? Just get through it. Don't say anything controversial. You'll be fine. Well, it, unfortunately for Moses, he couldn't. Have we got the audio? Basically saying he never wanted to be there.
We got the same manager. My manager let me know that he was looking to come here. From what my manager said, he didn't want to come. He loved it over there mainly, but yeah, I was in the same situation as well. I didn't want to come here, but I got to do what's best for me and what's best for my footy. And yeah, I guess he's coming to do the same thing. So hopefully he comes, has a crack, and yeah, hopefully he does well.
So Viliami Fifita is who he's talking about. He's one of the two Manly players in the swap deal with Aaron Woods.
He had no idea what he was saying. He didn't know that. It's like it just came out.
Well, tell it to James Graham. He's the filthy one.
It was unprovoked. It was unnecessary. Why would you even say that?
I think he was trying to go in the bat for the younger bloke there a little bit.
But he threw himself under the bus as well. Like, wait, there's some things that you just know going into press conferences. You just don't say, yeah, I'm excited for him to be here. You know, we've got the same manager. He said he's pumped.
Do you think he wouldn't have thought at the time that that was a big deal?
I don't think there's definitely no malice.
No, but it's just one of those things.
It's just a bit dumb.
You just don't say it.
Yeah.
You would never say, honestly, right, so I didn't hear it. Next day, someone goes to me, hey, have you heard about what Moses Sooley said? I'm like, he basically paraphrased what Moses had said in his interview. I was like, no, I don't believe you. Like, I was like, no, he couldn't have said that. And it turns out to be true. And look, I think...
He could have said all that, Jimmy, and then at the end said, but you know what? It's been a couple of years now. Yeah. I really like it here, and I'm going to tell the young man he's going to like it here too. And that would have been the end of it.
That would have been it. But it's just bizarre. And I guess, you know, it's an easy line to say this, but it's the fans you feel sorry for. Like, for the club of such proud history, like, for them to hear that they deserve better. And I guess my message to any young player out there or any player that's listening, you don't have to go. Like, I don't understand this. A manager's making me go. Just say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll stay where I am. Thank you.
Yep.
Cheers. Thanks for coming. Call me back when another time.
Do you think that is easy for young players to do?
It is very difficult to understand. You know, you can be manipulated by the situation. Like you say, negotiations, there's pressure putting you, you know. You know, incidences of not being able to play in reserve grade, no pathway to first grade. But fundamentally, the player makes the decision.
All right. Jimmy and managers don't get on well. Jimmy, you're very controlled there, but you have very little respect for managers, I know. Triple M rocking the footy. Roosters Parramatta getting closer. 9 minutes away.
Triple M footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.